All this week, we've been taking a look at obesity in the U.S. in our series called America on the Scale. We've heard about the numbers, where the most people are affected by obesity, about the latest research, and we've heard stories from people living with obesity. Yesterday, we spoke about the food industry and its role with investigative reporter Michael Moss.
These are companies doing what all companies want to do, sell as much product as possible to make as much money as possible. And the way they do it is maximize the allure of their products. And there's really nothing like sugar, like sweetness, to do that. We almost all love sugar, and it starts at birth.
Well, there's another part to this story, a psychological one that has to do with stigma. Rebecca Poole is deputy director for the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at the University of Connecticut. She studies perceptions of obesity in our culture. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, how much of a stigma is there for people who are overweight, who are obese?
Well, we live in a society where there are very negative societal attitudes when it comes to individuals who have obesity. And we've been studying this for really over 15 years now, and we see substantial stigma and discrimination. And this really is a problem that occurs in many different domains of living. It occurs in the context of employment, in medical facilities, educational institutions, in interpersonal relationships with family members and friends, and certainly also in the media.
Well, give us an example of what you're talking about when it comes to employment, weight discrimination.
Well, when we look at employment, we see that weight discrimination happens at virtually every stage of the employment cycle, from getting hired to getting fired. We see inequities in hiring practices where employees who are obese or who are overweight are much less likely to be hired, even if they have identical or even better qualifications than thinner individuals. And we also see that employees who have obesity are more likely to be fired or terminated from positions because of their weight.
And why is that? Is that because companies are afraid of healthcare costs for people who weigh more, or what's the reason?
Well, when we look at the reasons for why we have weight bias, a lot of times this really goes back to deep-seated stereotypes and prejudice. And we live in a culture that ascribes many negative stereotypes to individuals who have obesity. These stereotypes include perceptions or assumptions that people who have obesity are lazy or lacking in willpower, have less discipline, are unintelligent, sloppy. The list really goes on, and a lot of these deep-rooted stereotypes get expressed in ways that can lead to unfair treatment.
And why do we have those stereotypes? We were speaking with somebody the other day who mentioned exactly this and said it's not true that people who are overweight are lazy, and yet so many people think that.
Well, there are a number of reasons why we have this pervasive bias. One is that we live in a culture that has very stringent sociocultural ideals of fitness. But we also live in a society that tends to oversimplify the causes of obesity. We believe mistakenly that obesity is simply an issue of laziness or willpower. We do not recognize or talk about the much more complex contributors to obesity, many of which are beyond personal control. Because the emphasis is often on personal responsibility, this often perpetuates blame and stigma of individuals. We also see very negative media portrayals being communicated about both children and adults who have obesity. So it's not surprising that we see such negative societal attitudes. The other reason why this remains pervasive is that it remains legal to discriminate on the basis of weight. Currently, there are no federal laws that prohibit weight-based discrimination in the U.S.
There is one state, though, right, Michigan, that does prohibit it.
That's correct. There's one state, Michigan, enacted a law back in the 1970s. There are also a handful of local jurisdictions across the country who have passed laws. But for the vast majority of people who experience weight discrimination, there is no legal recourse.
What kind of effect does this have on people who are overweight beyond whether or not they can get a job or keep that job? It must be very difficult psychologically for them.
Well, we know from multiple studies that children and adults who experience stigma or bullying or discrimination because of their weight are vulnerable to a range of negative psychological and physical health consequences. So these include things like higher rates of depression and anxiety, low self-esteem, poor body image, even increased suicidal thoughts and behaviors. When it comes to physical health consequences, we see that individuals who experience weight discrimination or stigma engage in unhealthy eating behaviors like binge eating or increased food consumption, avoidance of physical activity. And I think one reason that it's important to really identify and emphasize this is that there tends to be this societal perception that maybe stigma is not such a bad thing when it comes to obesity. Maybe stigma will somehow motivate people to lose weight or provide them with incentive to lose weight. But when we look at the research on this issue, we see exactly the opposite is true, that in fact, experiences of weight discrimination or stigma is actually reinforcing obesity and risk of weight gain. So it's actually contributing to this issue.
So why do you think then that it is socially acceptable in some places for especially kids? I'm thinking it's really not for adults, but for kids in school to make fun of the person who is overweight. It happens all over this country.
Well, you're right. And in fact, our research has found that weight-based bullying is the most common reason that students are teased and bullied in the school setting. And again, this comes down to the lack of intervention and education specifically on this issue. For example, many schools are required now to have anti-bullying policies in place, but few of them address body weight. Oftentimes, body weight is not on the radar. It's not included in a diversity curriculum. We also need to look at what children see and are exposed to in our society. And it's no different than what adults are when it comes to body weight. They are bombarded with messages about thin ideals. Children's media is also riddled with characters who perpetuate negative weight-based stereotypes. And we know from research that the more media that kids are exposed to, the more likely they are to stigmatize a peer who has a higher body weight.
Does the language that we use contribute to this issue? You and I have been talking. I've been using the term overweight, but I could also use the term fat or obese. I noticed that you said person with obesity rather than obese person. How should we be talking about this issue?
Well, when it comes to language about obesity, there are a lot of different personal preferences that people have. And I think it's important to identify that there is increasing movement in the field of medicine and public health and obesity to be using people-first language with obesity, which really involves putting people first rather than labeling them by their disease or disability. This has really become an established standard for addressing people with different diseases or illnesses. And essentially, it involves referring to individuals who have obesity or who are affected by obesity rather than referring to an obese person.
When we spoke with someone earlier this week about this, she said that when people come up and say, we're concerned about your health and so therefore we want to point out your weight, that was offensive to her. What should we say to people if we do feel that way?
You know, this can be a very difficult conversation, and I think it's helpful to remember that people often already feel shame about body weight, and so we need to be sensitive and thoughtful if this is a topic that you decide to bring up with a family member or friend. We certainly recommend trying to keep the conversation focused on overall health rather than body weight. So instead of saying things like, oh, I've noticed that you keep gaining weight or you don't fit into your clothes, instead indicating that you care about them and are worried about their health. It's also important to think about how you would want someone to talk to you about a sensitive topic. Would you appreciate a friend's advice or would you find it intrusive or uncomfortable? So all of these factors need to be considered before broaching this conversation.
As a society, what is the solution? Promoting health and learning to accept and not stigmatize? What would you say?
Well, I think multiple solutions are needed. Certainly, we need to have an increased public recognition and understanding that obesity is a very complex issue with multiple contributors, many of which are outside personal control. But you're right, we also need to shift the conversation more on overall health rather than just the number on the scale. When we look at stigma, though, really broad kinds of remedies will be needed to shift societal attitudes. Some of this may require policy-level remedies, such as laws to prohibit weight discrimination or strengthening policies in schools and states to protect students from weight-based bullying. We also need to look at the way in which media portrays individuals with obesity and ensure that those portrayals are respectful. So there are really a number of remedies that are required in order to effectively address this problem.
That's Rebecca Poole, a deputy director for the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at the University of Connecticut. Rebecca, thank you.
Thanks so much.
And all this week, we've been hearing from you, our listeners, about how obesity has affected your lives, some very poignant stories. One listener, S.A.B., told us about her decade-long struggle to go from 240 pounds to the healthier weight of 136 pounds. She's still not there, but 60 pounds down, she is on her way. Another listener, L. Allison, told us her parents sent her to Weight Watchers when she was just 8 years old, and the stigma was so painful that she decided not to have children so they wouldn't have to feel that pain. And yet another listener, Suzanne in Washington State, told us that it's not just food behind the epidemic. Tens of millions of Americans affected by lymphedema and lipedema, both diseases unaffected by diet and exercise that often go undiagnosed. Lots of great thoughts from you, and you can leave more of them at hereandnow.org. And you can also listen to all of our series on obesity, America on the Scale, right there at hereandnow.org.